In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hello.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we are your hosts of the third best comedy podcast on Earth.
Wow. Earth's a pretty big, there's a lot of podcasts out there. And to be number three in the U.S.
On this globe?
Not just the U.S., the world.
I mean, it's humbling. Don't you guys feel humbled? Like, just like bowled over by it.
It's grumbling, too. I'm hungry. So I was a little late to the pod here today, and I have to tell you why. So you saw that the listener saw that we posted a picture of Bart Simpson the other day. It was from Niece of the Podcast. Tig Hanford made that. She drew it herself. I think she said she paused a YouTube clip and drew it from that, which I thought was pretty good. Wow. I told her when we posted it that we were going to post it, and she was excited about that. So she called me just now and asked how it was doing. And
what are the numbers like? What are we dealing with?
I said, I'll tell you, you did really well. And she said, Twitter, you got 173. And she says, hold on, I got to go to write this down. And she ran to her room. I'd explain that I'm on a time crunch here, and I'm going to get a little late for the podcast. So she went to her room, and I was like, but Instagram was 636. She's like, whoa, hold on. So she's writing like Instagram. I said, how do you spell Instagram? And she's like, what do you put for that? And I said, Insta, write that. And she's like, okay. And then she wrote all of Instagram and spelled it wrong, and we had to go through that for a little bit. And then, it was just back and forth. But she was like, wow. I was like, that's pretty good. She's like, yeah, that's pretty good. All right, well, thanks.
She's taking down the numbers.
Tig's relationship to the internet is like kind of like my parents. Sort of like a phone call to find out how something's doing on social media and then write it down with a pencil.
Actually, I think my brother had maybe showed her Twitter. Because when I told her the Twitter number, she's like, yeah, I just saw that.
See, Tig is an artist, though. She doesn't need to be concerned with like the metrics so much as just getting Bart Simpson's butt cheeks just so.
It's just funny to me to think, like, I'm assuming that was just on a loose piece of like computer paper that's now just, she's got. It's not in any type of book.
Oh, that thing's on the fridge, baby.
yeah, maybe.
I mean, those numbers at some point might need to be updated too.
Yeah, I'll keep her abreast.
She get her some ticker tape.
Look, I don't want to speak too soon, but we haven't done a T-shirt in a while.
Okay,
it'd be pretty good.
Fashion is back in style.
That's a good one. And the proceeds will go to her college fund.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Harvard only.
Hartford. Only. If she doesn't get in, we give the money back.
Isn't there an Instagram account called Bootleg Bart?
Yeah, or a website or something.
Huh.
I've seen something of that.
Wow.
Any minute now, they'll be plucking it up.
I love that Bootleg Bart t-shirt that says, don't have a box new. Instead of don't have a cow man. The translation.
Don't have a box new. That's true.
But yeah, I mean, I try not to have a box new.
Yeah. Yeah. I think on Bart's request.
Hey, can we address one little thing before we go into booze news?
Oh boy.
Yep.
Michael with the haircut looking fresh.
Oh,
looking
my
is a good look.
Thank you very much.
Oh my goodness.
I got my hair cut at a place with a pun name. It was called Sheer something. I forget what it was. Mm-hmm. I needed a haircut, and I said, I got an open day here Saturday. Nothing's going on. Look at me go. I walk in. This lady cuts my hair, and she kept, you know, she was like doing a good job, but she kept like cutting the back a little bit, and I like nodded, and she was like, that's good? Okay. Because if you, person doesn't tell me, I will keep cutting forever. We can't get it back.
Yeah. I don't like that when a haircutter gets chatty and then they just sort of go into autopilot and keep cutting and keep cutting and keep cutting.
We weren't chatting. It was very difficult to like understand each other with the masks on.
It's a lot of pressure for a stylist when someone with long hair, like I feel like you or these days Jeff with the long hair, I feel like you go into a barbershop and you sit down and it kind of throws them for a loop because they're like, okay, you've got long hair. I'm going to go shorter than it is, but not all mm-hmm. the way to, I'm not breaking out the shears and doing the clippers like I do with Tim Kalpakis. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to find some sort of middle ground and get snippy.
Anytime I've gone into a barber, a salon or something, there's usually a short conversation about what the plan is.
I know that you communicate, and hey, that's great that you're talking it through.
Communication
but you know
is
what
key.
I mean about men's haircuts?
Yeah.
Most styles of men's haircuts are short or long, and when you're a long hair guy going in for a haircut, that barber doesn't know what they're going to hear. It's a mind field.
I do a lot of I like the length, just clean it up. Which usually translates into a shorter haircut, but they're not going like
because they always go
the
a little too far, right?
Yeah.
Now, Mike, also you,
it's a little bit of a mullet kind of, which I don't mind.
When you cut your get your haircut shorter, because I sort of see you with two different haircuts. Mm-hmm. Tim, you know what I'm talking about. There's sort of like shorter hair Mike and then longer hair Mike, but you don't maintain either. You go short and you let it grow to long, and then you cut it short and you let it grow to long. So you sort of plan on like a nice 3.5 inches coming in.
Well, were we still talking about my haircut, Jeff? Like you in the bedroom.
Hey.
The bedroom.
Hey, you plan on 3.5 inches coming in?
I was just leaving. You know. What was I saying? Yeah, the haircut. Yeah, it's, I think she probably took all told an inch and a half off.
This is a good, good cut, Mike. You look like
thank you.
Peak Kevin Costner.
Woo! Wow.
Huge compliment. Huge compliment for a
I'm
guy
talking Bull Durham, baby.
Tin cup.
Ooh, the postman.
The postman himself. Bull Durham.
And Robin Hood.
Ooh, Prince of Thieves, right. Not...
No. Men in Tights.
Men in Tights, no.
There was another Robin Hood that came out like 3 years ago with Eggsy from Kingsman, which I love.
Eggsy!
And I think it like was the worst movie ever made, so they say.
I think Hollywood wildly overestimates the appeal of Robin Hood and Peter Pan. They're always doing
ooh,
Peter Pan. I never care.
There's a lot of Peter Pan.
You know what I bet it is? I bet it. You know how like Sony or Fox has to make a Spider-Man movie every bunch of years or else they lose the rights to it?
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's the same deal.
That's why we get so many of the fucking Peter Parkers.
That was the deal way back like during the Tobys and the Garfields.
Mm.
They might have renegotiated now that Spider-Man's a cash cow.
Did you see the new Spider-Man?
Yes.
No.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I still have the same problem with it that I got with a lot of the Marvel stuff. Mm. Did you?
I saw it, yeah. I actually took the nephews and niece to it, and my mom was with us too, and I was like trying to explain some stuff to her, and I don't know a lot of that stuff either. I was like, okay. And she was laughing at how like complicated it was. Like, and they're like, we need to get the block crystal from this universe. And she was like, yeah, that's funny.
This movie assumes a deep familiarity with many Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. I had to explain. I was like, those are other Spider-Mans from other movies that actually existed before this.
Oh.
But I will say, all the comedy in the movie worked for my mom. She loved it.
Mm. Great. A little weepy, I would say, this movie.
Long at the end.
And long.
long getting out.
Did you hear, you know what Jack Nicholson's take was on Return of the King?
What?
What's Return
of the King? Have you heard this?
Lord of the Rings 3?
Yeah. Oh, Elijah Wood ran into Nicholson in the bathroom after the screening for Return of the King. And they were like, what do you think? And he was like, too many endings, man.
Yeah. I mean, that movie really is an hour of endings. So yeah. Nicholson knows his film.
he's been in a few.
I always think it's weird with these, especially with superhero movies and stuff, like the number one critique of movies, right? Even when people are wrong, the number one thing people say is this movie was too long, or I got bored because the movie's too long. And then the studio, it's like,
do you know why they do it?
Why streaming?
It does better internationally.
Longer movies do better internationally?
Yes, for whatever reason. Like, so that's why all those like big blockbustery movies are all like 2:45.
Interesting. If we could crack the code on the international market, I bet we'd do much better.
They're just trying to kill more time in a movie, I guess, or their movies they're used to longer movies.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's funny. Usually you're like trying to keep the budget down, and the easiest way to cut $100 million from a budget would be to lose half an hour of film.
Yeah.
But it's this international market.
Of course. Damn.
How are the Sloppy Boys doing internationally?
That's what I was just saying. We got to figure this out a little better.
Not so good, Tim.
So we had only one of us knew this whole thing about the movies.
Well, I know we got one person in Australia. Oh, and one person we got Miranda in the UK.
London, England.
I hopped on a Zoom with some of our Patreon patrons recently. I heard accents from around the globe.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Must have been like Epcot Center in there, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like the Small World ride.
Well, we're standstill here.
You know what I don't like about the Discord? The Discord has their own whole thing, right? And maybe we should save this for the blowout, but I'm going to sound off. They're always like, oh, come on, join the Discord. We're doing a Zoom room. And then I look at the screen grabs, and there's always one or two people sleeping on there. So how exciting can this thing be?
Well, that's because they go all night. They're maniacs. And if you main pod listeners don't know, Discord, it's like your private little Reddit just for talking about the Sloppy Boys, and it's very cool. And if you subscribe to our Patreon, you get access to it. But it's a whole world. Like, they've become such friends. Like, they don't care about the Sloppy Boys anymore on there. And when they're on their Zooms, I hop in like, hey, everybody, it's me from the pod. They don't give a flying fuck. They exchange gifts, and they're involved in each other's lives. There's real friendships. It's bigger than some stupid booze podcast.
They a bunch of the patrons came to the Chicago show and like had never met each other before in real life.
Whew. Yeah, they did Secret Santa where they mailed gifts to each other.
Really?
Somebody should do a documentary on.
Yeah. And that's not to say if you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a patron, and now it feels like, oh, that's already its own thing. They bring people in all the time. I've seen it happen before.
It's a very welcoming community, except for us. If we try to get in there, they kind of boot us out.
Yes. Yeah. Not a lot of people like me in there, and they've let me know. Somebody, on Twitter the other day, somebody, you know, right before where we posted the shrub, the New York shrub, which calls for balsamic vinegar, vinaigrette, no vinegar. And, you know, somebody wrote, I can't wait to see what at Mike Hanford, how he struggles with the balsamic. Well, guess what? I did it pretty damn well, and I enjoyed the drink.
Oh, damn.
Tell him, Mike.
It's a funny thing to be angrily yelling that you enjoyed a nice cocktail. Yeah. It was just delicious in perfect balance.
It's not so funny to me, Tim.
Oh, I'll tell you. I had another big one of those after the pod.
Did you?
Because Mookie came over.
Little Mookie B?
And I said, hey, let me make you a shrub. Oh, yeah. And then I was like, well, I'll make myself another large shrub as well. And, oh, boy. They're spicy and they get on top of you. I'll tell you that.
Ooh-wee. They're spicy, but they're not so nicey after
That's
a while.
Right.
They'll get you. Oh, they'll get you.
Well, that's pretty good for shit chat, right?
That's good for the episode. I say fade out.
See you,
that's folks. Our show. Check us out online with Sloppy Boys. Give it up for your boy.
Wow, seeing us through all the way to the end.
You know what I wanted to mention? I'll say it up top so then people can keep it in mind at the end. But Mike, you were saying you get some flack from people and you wanted to set something straight. I haven't gotten flack about this, but I just want to preemptively say, if anyone out there thinks that I can't write a good counter melody on the organ, listen to the song at the end of our show,
yeah,
and you, that's me on organ going, and it's pretty cool. So eat shit.
So shut up ahead of time,
just in case.
All y'all.
And with that,
yeah, let's get into some.
Hit it.
There once was a show from Three Men Three. The theme of the show was a little boozy. The news lifted up and drinks sipped down. Oh, blow, full of body boys, blow. Soon may the sloppy boys come to sing a funnel whiskey and rum. One day when the news is done, we'll share final thoughts with thee.
Would you call me crazy if I said it had a tobacco finish?
Yeah, I would. I'm like I said.
Mike down from the yellowbird tree.
I'm scoping the chickens. Just checking them out. Real cool.
Yeah. I'm clapping.
It's booze news, you shanty dogs.
Okay.
Wow. Was that in a ridge?
Was that 100 gex?
Yeah.
I wish. That was Slophead Nick Andrews. And if you have a booze news theme, send it to the Sloppy Boys Podcast at gmail.com.
Where do you think Andrews is from? That sounded like a...
Sounded like he's from the seven seas.
Yeah.
Yeah, sea shanty kind of thing.
Damn.
That also had a little something about that sea shanty thing gives me this Eastern European flair. Mm. Like, you know that song that was a big TikTok song that's on the charts that's like, begging you to put your little arms around me, baby. You guys know that one?
No. Oh. Is it a male singer?
There's yeah.
I think I do know.
There's lots of times like a hit by I'll listen to a pop song and say this just has a little you know, a little Bolshevik in it, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's good.
But that particular song is a cover of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Ooh.
Oh.
Begging you to put you to the...
Is it the whole song or did they interpolate a little section?
It's like full on cover. It's weird. Ooh. It's just like they covered a song and then had a monster. When you look at the Hot 100, you don't see bands. And this band, whatever they're called, like it's like one word starts with an M. Let's say Moleskine.
sure,
they're like Could the only use. Band on the charts, but it's all because of TikTok.
Man, I'm not on TikTok, and I gotta be. We all gotta be. Let's be honest.
Do we?
That's where all the eyeballs are, Mike. You gotta be there, or you're gonna be left behind.
No, I'm on Periscope.
No.
I'm
we should
still
get our
chat
songs
roulette.
On there. How do we get our songs on there? How do we become the big hit?
Are they on there now?
I don't know.
Well, we don't, Jeff, you said you're not on TikTok, so you don't know. For all you know, you finally sign up and it's all one big Sloppy Boys love
fest. It's just wall to wall Sloppy Boys. Oh my God.
Okay, top story in booze news. Guess who's getting into the alcohol malt beverage game, guys? Fresca!
Oh, that makes sense.
This was sent to us.
We've done this shit so many times. It's just like, you can say whatever you want. And Fresca's maybe the least interesting thing you could have said.
It's a partnership between Corona Brewer, Constellation Brands, and Coke. They didn't even say the flavors yet. But, you know, we know that... When we did the Paloma, you're allowed to use any grapefruit soda you want, and Fresca is one of the popular ones. So, right. And then I think Andy Cohen mixes on Watch What Happens Live. He drinks Fresca and tequila. So like Fresca was just like, okay, you guys are doing this anyway. We're going to crank one out.
I wonder if Cohen's got his hand in some of this. He's a savvy businessman.
Cohen used our favorite term, by the way, few weeks ago when he got too drunk during the New Year's Eve thing. He said he was overserved.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, he's good.
I thought he had a Technicolor yawn. Well, that's good for them. Here's what I'll say about Fresca. I do not like Fresca.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
The first sip of Fresca is good, and then the second sip, you start getting that NutraSweet.
Now you got to get yourself a Fever Tree.
Yeah. Are Fresca and Squirt the same thing?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, they're two different sodas.
But attempting to be what grapefruit?
They're two different grapefruit sodas. Squirt's way better, and even Diet Squirt is better than Fresca.
Squirt.
But Fresca has its weird cult following. Like, I think of it as Judge Smales in Caddyshack is like, want a Fresca? Mm. So I always thought it was like...
Hoity-toity?
You know, or like, yeah, like a crusty old guy drink. But I don't really think that that's what they intended. I think it was meant to be a slim supermodel drink. And then kind of the other booze news I had was just on a similar topic. These are all coming from the Slopheads. That one was given to me by Little Latin Lupe. And now from our buddy Dan Padley, Slophead, he said that PBR just launched a line of higher THC cannabis drinks. So PBR had like a cannabis seltzer from PBR that was
I didn't know about it.
Neither did I, but it was like low. It was like 5 milligrams of THC, and now it was selling well, so they put out 10 milligrams. So you're going to get high when you drink this mango or raspberry or strawberry, kiwi or pineapple.
We talked about this with Gabrus, I think. He was telling us about this. It's like one beer is equal to like one gummy, let's say.
If it's, yeah. 10,
where are people getting these?
This is an article from Thrillist, and it makes it sound
Thrillist.
Like
a... Thrillist! Boom, 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 boom.
Thrillist!
Yep. Wow, I'm seeing them. PabstLabs.com.
PabstLabs.com. I've never actually toured the Pabst Labs myself.
No.
Is that when Dre and Eminem are talking about being in the lab with a pen and a pad? Is that what they're talking about? The Pabst Labs?
Yeah, definitely.
Trying to get this damn label off. Jeez.
Okay, you're up to date on all the malt beverages. Mike, did you have some booze news?
Yes, mine is less news. I'm introducing a new segment to Booze News.
Oh,
it's called Hanford's Hobbies, and I'm gonna every time I see it fit that if I'm doing something or watching something I like or reading a book I like or I've got some new culinary excitement in the kitchen.
Yeah,
I will
so cool.
Bring it up in Hanford's Hobbies. So,
like if you're adding broccoli to your spaghetti or your
something I'm just into.
Yeah,
just
so to it's get not pe- like booze related. So sort of like
it
within...
It could be.
Okay.
And it's not news really either.
No, it's just the people, you know, the ACAST people wanted me to sort of... They said, you got to get your personal life out there a little more.
I can't believe
they
go over me and Jeff's heads and they go straight to you with this shit.
Yeah. They said,
it's funny.
They said, you know, you're a charismatic guy, but you don't do anything.
So this is like a segment within a segment. Yeah. We'll have to like wrap up that thing and then wrap up Booze News. Okay.
Yeah, and I told them too. I said, the Booze News movie reviews did not go over well with these guys. Some of the listeners loved it, but these guys did not love it. And they said, just try it out. So go ahead, Jeff, you can play the theme song.
Great, okay.
That's nice. French horn.
It's time for Hanford's Hobbies.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. I meant to say this ahead of time. I got a celebrity guest to do the theme.
Was that... Who was that?
It was Hank Hill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, Mike Judge did it, but he did it in the style of Hank Hill.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he did. That's cool you did that.
Okay. Here's my... Here's my first Hanford hobby of the week. I'm not going to do this weekly whenever I see it fit. Mm-hmm. This first one is I'm watching the show Southside. Have you ever seen the show Southside?
No.
Oh, I've heard great things.
I heard great things too, and I didn't know about it. It started in 2019 on Comedy Central, the first season, and then the second season came on 2021 on HBO Max. Now both seasons are HBO Max. But it is... I saw Mike DiCenzo had tweeted about it because he used to work with the creators at Fallon, and the creators are named. Diallo Riddle, Bashir Salahuddin, and Sultan Salahuddin are the creators, and they're all in it in the show. But they were Fallon writers; they're just comedy writers, and it's about these two friends who work at a rent-to-own sort of like repo place in South Side Chicago. It is so funny. It makes me laugh out loud. I'm laughing out loud watching this.
Nice.
Damn.
South Side. I can't believe when I somebody was like, oh, there's a great show out, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll watch it. And then I'm actually like really in love with it.
See, I hear good things about that show, but I hear good things about a lot of shows, and then I watch them, and I'm like, I don't know if I trust that person anymore. But now you're telling me my boy is telling me it's good?
Yeah, I mean, this is a special segment was sort of designed around this
show.
Now, Mike, this show sounds great. I'm going to check it out. I appreciate the recommendation, but
HBO Max.
It's a recommendation. I don't think that... You called this segment Hanford's Hobbies, and you're saying that your new hobby is watching Southside on TV?
No, hobby is just like in place of like interest. I'm just trying to get the alliteration of Hanford's Hobbies. It's not like, oh, this week I'm making my own fly fishing lures.
Yeah.
If you made your own fly fishing lures, that would be fantastic.
Okay, but I'm telling you, a comedy writer who loves laugh-out-loud comedy about a comedy show.
Wait. You're talking to an Emmy-nominated comedy writer?
That's right.
WGA nominee?
That's the one I was getting.
Talking to the guy who wrote The Big Joke in the Obama Ferns?
That's right.
This is crazy.
One of Zach's favorites, I'm told.
from Funny or Die? This is crazy.
So this is Southside. Watch Southside. It's super fun. It's also like very low budget, so that's got some fun charm to it. Maybe not very low budget, but low budget.
Good.
Okay, that's Southside. Now, my other Hanford hobby is a song I've been listening to a lot called Casa de Mel by Brad Goodall. Have you heard of this person?
No.
No.
There's not much online about him. He put this song, Casa de Mel, out in 2017. It came up in my Spotify list, my discoveries. It's about this guy who he's playing a little organ, you know, and he's house sitting for his friend, and it's very funny.
Okay, what's his name, the artist?
Brad Goodall. You can find him on Spotify or YouTube. Oh, Brad Goodall. Cool. He looks very like cool. I think he's from West Virginia or something, more of a southern state. But it looks like a Brooklyn hip guy.
Southern man.
That's right. So yeah, that's sort of what I'm into media-wise these days. Hanford Hobbies Corner was just sort of a
Hanford Hobbies Corner now?
Oh, just that one time when I said it. It's not. Okay. Yeah.
I think what's cool, just an aside to Jeff here. Jeff, I think it's cool when Hanford Hobbies is like, with Hanford, like, you know, the guy on the he's jokes around in the pod. Sometimes he makes the drinks wrong, you know, but we don't really know the guy behind the guy, you know.
Yeah.
And now, thanks to Hanford's Hobbies, I feel like I see what he's up to, what interests him, the real guy, not the kind of plaid facade.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Tim. That's exactly what the Acast people said, and they were looking for. You know, they like the goofball, but they want to get a little deeper into him.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
I like seeing him with his guard down like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Because I could have said these two things that I'm enjoying, and you would have said, you're a fool, you're a, you know.
Dingus.
Rube.
Yeah, you're a maniac. You got to be stopped.
You know, you're a bit of an ignoramus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yes. So this was great. I'm going to wrap up my little segment here, and then Jeff, you can wrap up the whole segment. Here it is. I'm going to wrap up Hanford's Hobbies. Bobby. So that's wrapped up.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Now wrap up Booze News.
Yeah, one second. I got to get a... okay, that's it for Booze News.
Nice. Good.
There you go.
I was just remembering, because Mike, I called you an ignoramus, and I was remembering, remember we had an old sketch we did at UCB, and the last line, I guess this could be the last line of any sketch really, but like there was some guy in a sketch being weird, and then you were like the straight man, and then at the very end of the sketch, you were about to walk off stage, and you turn back to the guy and go, "You're an ignoramus!" And then that was the blackout line. And we had an idea. I don't know, but we were like, oh man, when we get a TV show, we should let's end every single sketch with "You're an ignoramus."
Yeah, was that hungry, hungry screenwriter? No,
no.
I don't think so. I feel like I said it to Chris. He was sitting on a chair, like in the middle of the stage.
Maybe we were all. Was it? We were baseball players. Maybe "You're an ignoramus," or we were cops. It was a group sketch. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't think of it. Well, I'm glad not being able to think of your old sketch titles is not a crime, because we would be under arrest. Today we're talking about a drink called the Illegal.
Oh, pow, pow.
The Illegal. Now, this is a New Era drink on the New Era list on the IBA. We've jumped back to the IBA. Let me tell you about this drink, first of all. There is... Can you see what I'm doing with my hand here?
Goose egg.
Goose egg.
Goose egg amounts of information on this drink online. I was looking it up, looking. It's also very difficult to, if you write illegal cocktail recipe, like the Wikipedia comes up, but then you just get a bunch of prohibition, how prohibition worked stuff. And then you got to get creative, like recipe for illegal, the cocktail. And then you finally, yes, you finally found out there's nothing.
I hate ungoogleable. This is a thing. If you start a band or you make a movie or anything, you learn to name things words that are googleable. But if you're too generic, because you could try illegal drink illegal cocktail IBA whatever.
You're gonna get a million things.
This is too many things.
Also, don't name your group the Birthday Boys. You'll get a ton of Google alerts that don't apply to you.
Yeah, you get Twitter tags just anytime anyone has a birthday. Yeah.
You gotta name your band Anna Mana Gucci.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's nobody knows how to spell that.
The guys in the band do.
I went to even Jack Schramm. I texted Jack Schramm and said, "You ever hear of this illegal? We're doing it tonight on the pod, and I can't find anything about it." He said, "Never had, never heard."
Wow.
Whoa,
using the parlance of the pod.
Yeah.
Wait, I just looked it up on Cocktail Society, and it says The Unknown History. So there's like an article about it, and there
you go. That's funny, a waste of time.
Why write an article just to say you don't know shit?
What are you on there? The Cocktail Society. Yeah, that's what I find. The paragraph is tiny about it, and it's basically saying there's no, it's under the radar, and nobody knows anything about it. I'll read this. The only interesting fact I discovered is that the illegal cocktail traditionally is served in clay mugs, just like the clay vessels that are also commonly used to drink posh, an ancient Mayan spirit. And I looked up posh. It's spelled P-O-X. It's pronounced posh, and it is from Mexico. It's kind of like tequila and mezcal, I think.
This is so cool because it not having a history kind of invites the mind to fill it in with a real lascivious backstory.
And it's a cool name. I feel like a bit of a bad boy drinking it.
Mm-hmm. It's a little, it feels redacted, like a government document with a bunch of black.
Yeah.
The drink they won't let you know about.
Yeah.
Let me just
finish. For us, it's a real good.
Posh is made of corn and sugarcane, not agave like the other tequilas and mezcal. Okay, go ahead.
Wait. Posh is the clay mug or Posh is the...
Posh, it was a drink, Mayan spirit, ancient Mayan liquor.
From the clay mug.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, what attracted us to this drink too, other than getting back on our IBA list and checking off some of the lesser known ones, I like clearing out the liquor cabinet because I've got Falernum and I've got Maraschino and I'm not using them very much. And
Tim, that reminds me, I haven't discussed the recipe. Let me do that right now. I was just going to say, let's go make the damn thing.
Wow, I'm glad I reminded you.
Yeah, I could have been. We could have been fucked. Okay, in the illegal, 30 milliliters Espadin Mezcal.
I have that exact. Is that a brand name? Because I have a little.
Got it. Must be.
I've got that.
It must be.
Perfect. Hell yeah.
I've got a different kind.
Oh, perfect.
That's 30 milliliters of the mezcal. Now, 15 milliliters Jamaican overproof white rum.
Got it.
15 milliliters Falernum. One bar spoon. What?
Got it.
I got it, man.
All right. Well, I am assuming you have all these. Stop. One bar spoon maraschino lissardo.
Got it.
I swear, I've got three more ingredients to go here, and if you keep, I will lose my mind.
I'm going to hold my god until the end.
Yeah, me too. 22.5 milliliters fresh joie de lime.
Got it. You got to say lime juice.
Fresh lime juice. So I come from the whole cocktail tradition from like a French angle, you know.
Yeah. No, yes. I know. Just for our American audience, though.
And then 15 milliliters simple syrup. And here's what I don't have. Few drops of egg white.
Got it.
And I'm optional. Saved here because it's optional.
Optional. Yeah.
Method. Pour all ingredients into a shaker. Love that. Shake vigorously with ice. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass or on the rocks, Jeff, in a traditional clay or terracotta mug. Now, I don't have a clay or terracotta mug. I just don't.
Nope.
I got a coffee mug.
What's terracotta? I've got tiki mugs. You think that
terracotta is like, you know, when you see tiles on the roof in California, those little scoop tiles? Yeah, it's terracotta.
Now, Tim, look up the Terracotta Warriors. It's an artifact, I think, out of China. This emperor made a bunch of statue warriors to protect him, and he made like hundreds of them.
Yeah, but you could go on and on about history all night, Mike. We're going to have to cut you off and bring it back to the drink.
Now, garnish, I know you want to put all types of lemon twists, and can I maybe put an olive? This is NA. That is not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
Yeah. In this one, that's not acceptable.
If you do it, you're out of here.
you're unaccepted.
Inappropriate.
So, yeah, even the picture here, though, looks like it's in sort of a martini-ish type coupe glass. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's like a cocktail glass. I'm going rocks just because I know
you
myself.
Like the, you know yourself.
Wait a second. What's the more common way to do it? If I just want to do it? No, the mug.
A cocktail glass.
No, because if the traditional picture, way was the terracotta mug.
Yeah, but you don't have it. None of us have it.
I know, but don't you think if you had the mug, you'd be having it on the rocks? So serving it up is more of a variation. I'm going rocks glass. I don't care what you guys say.
So you're gonna put rocks in there.
Yeah.
Yep. And hey, quick word on this white overproof rum. I searched for I'll get a white overproof rum. No problem. There's got to be a million of them. Mm-hmm. I Google searched and it's only one brand.
Oh.
Is it the one I have?
I'd be astonished if we had different brands. I have this one.
What do you got?
Ray and Nephew.
Yeah, ooh. I do have that.
Nice.
That's what I got. Michael? That's a good looking bottle.
I am doing Bacardi because I couldn't find that. I have dark overproof rum, but...
Gotcha.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
I'm not going to do that to you.
Well, I'm looking at this motherfucker. This guy, 63% alcohol by volume. So this is, 125 proof.
Yikes.
It's even got the crazy cap on it, like the safety cap.
I love that.
Wait, what's the proof again?
125-ish.
Woo!
Well, don't make this drink by any open flames, Jeff, and let's get to it.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Folks, we'll see ya in a jiffy.
Wouldn't want to be ya.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back with Illegal Cocktails.
Yeah.
Bad Boys. The Bad Boys of the podcast world.
Hey, what was the type of mezcal?
Espolin.
Yeah, Espolin.
I had it after all.
Hey.
Really? And that was the brand name? Espadin. Espadin.
Seems like something we should know.
I think that's a type of agave.
Ooh. I like getting the egg white in here. This looks fancy. It has a lot of fancy ingredients, and I like the opaqueness. It's really hard to interpret what a few drops of egg is. I pinched my fingers into the egg white and just kind of like dripped some slime from my fingers. And
How did you do the 22.5 milliliters of what was it?
Lime juice.
Lime juice.
I measured it, my boy.
I guess.
That's, 22.5. I think what they're trying to say is 3/4 of an ounce, right? Yeah. I mean 2/3. 2/3 of an ounce. Huh?
Yeah, I think I did about that.
Espadin is a type of agave or something.
Great.
Not a brand.
The Luxardo, I gave it a good smell. This is the bitter stuff or the ashy stuff.
Woodsy.
That I,
It's like bark.
Yeah. And what did we use Falernum for? Was that a tiki drink?
Zombie?
Yeah, okay.
It's something tiki.
Episode 2, zombie.
Yeah. All right. Should we do it?
Yep.
Let's sip this thing. Listen to my frothy cubes. I went on the rocks and I got that froth sound you love.
I went
au naturel.
Same here. I went up after all.
Those look nice. Sips. Ow!
Complicated.
Mike, why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? It's the illegal.
Yep. Okay. You're getting that smoky mezcal. Man, the mezcal really, I mean, it was the most, it was one of the bigger amounts you put in this thing, but mezcal really cuts through any drink.
Yeah, I was really kind of hoping to get more rum and lime, personally.
Don't know if I love mezcal.
Same.
I think that I like it when I'm drinking and want to taste it, but it really is a buzzsaw that cuts right through everything else in your drink. And I'm not getting Falernum or Maraschino or any of that. I have like a eggy, mine is very limey. I'm surprised yours isn't, Jeff, but I'm getting just smoky mezcal, lime, and egg. It's delicious. But those other ingredients, if you're a slophead light on the cash, skip them.
Yeah.
It really is like the mezcal and probably lime I'm tasting the most.
Yeah, there's lime. But come on, I was smelling it. I was like, here we go, another tiki night for J-Man. And no.
No, it's just, well, Jeff, you have the egg in there, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It was like a few drops of egg white. How do you get a few drops? I got a big glob.
Is it like you're eating an omelet over there?
No, I like it because you know how I like my whiskey sours, yeah. Tim.
Globby.
I mean, I like this. This is like it's a mezcal sour, and any opportunity to get that egg white in there, it's everyone wants to drink a drink and then feel like a weird film on their teeth, right? Because you want that kind of squeaky. A squeaky film on your teeth.
Yeah, you have to like sort of just suck off each tooth.
But it makes me think, anytime you make a marg, like not the mixer kind, but like the good margarita we made on here, if you could probably put a little bit of the egg white and get this.
Dude, this I bet you I would fucking love this with just tequila instead of mezcal.
Mm.
You don't want that smokiness, huh?
No.
You don't like the lava.
Because if it had no smokiness, I'd be able to taste the other complexities, man.
No smokies. No
overproof jokies. Rum plus tequila plus my favorite lime. Come on.
Yeah.
Falernum always welcome.
Falernum, I took a sniff of it, but I didn't taste it. I couldn't really get what it was all
about. It's kind of clovey. It's like a sweet liqueur that's kind of got a clovey quality to it. Like allspice kind of.
Yeah. All right. Mm. All right. Jeff, I was your video was frozen before when we were showing our drinks, but yours looks closest to the IBA's look.
Looks almost like a yellow bird.
Wait a second. IBA had a picture? I think I ignored it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a square coupe glass.
Man, I came across a thread on Reddit the other day.
A thread it?
Just shitting on the IBA.
Oof. Slop heads or just normal cocktail?
Normal bartenders from like 2 years ago. People just... It's a laughing stock. What do we do?
Cancel the pod.
It is funny, like, when you go on the site and you've got, you know, you look at the, this is just one new thing I've learned that I don't like about this thing. If you go into, let's say, I'm in new drinks, new era drinks, and I go to click on the square of the drink, you can either click on the picture of the drink or the little tiny word under it. And if you're in the red, it doesn't work. Why not make that whole fucking square clickable?
God, I'm looking at this IBA picture and I looked at it too quickly before, and because it's like a square cocktail glass, I thought it was a rocks glass. I would have strained.
Who's the damn webmaster on this site?
This is, I'm liking this, like, as far as mezcal goes, which I'm not the, I like to just like sip mezcal neat, and then a lot of times in a cocktail the cocktails are interchangeable and they don't matter to me, but because of the egg, this is like kind of my favorite mezcal cocktail I've ever had.
I bet. I think I like this as much as I can like a mezcal cocktail. How about that?
As much as you could like a drink that tastes like cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand why there's no history. If this is, the IBA has this listed as a new era drink, so it's a recent invention. So
Here's the
history should be the easiest thing to track down.
I think that whoever created this was being a little joker. And was being like, there's no origin for it, man. It's the illegal.
Oh. Okay.
I think that's part of it, is that whoever came up with this is intentionally obfuscating.
You think?
Yeah.
This person is wiping the internet clean of any type of mention.
Or no, like they just sort of.
Precious little drink.
Because who else could wipe the history? None but the maker itself.
Do you think that Jack Schramm is abiding by the code of the bartender by saying he's never heard of it?
I'll go one step further. I bet it fucking is Jack Schramm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Tim, you cracked the code. You were so close.
God, it was right in front of me and I just didn't see it.
This is a Jack Schramm drink. Jack, you've done it again.
Here's what I wanted to ask you guys. Illegal is the name of the cocktail. Crimes. Illegal activities. Have you guys ever broken the law? Huh? What's the worst? What's the biggest crime you ever committed?
Certainly not going to talk about it here in a public forum.
I think the statutes of limitations are up. Come on.
I could have been speeding down the street yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have a car, so it wouldn't be your fault if you were.
Perhaps I stole it.
Oh my God, that's illegal.
All right, I'll tell a story. Maybe I'll cut it. When I was a mall kid,
Suncoast.
That's why when I worked at the mall. This is a different story at the mall in New Hampshire.
This is just you at the mall.
I was with my buddy Adam, and I stole from the mall a flask and went through the security gates of the store, and it went doop doop doop, and my blood went cold. And security came
memory
up.
Memory has just a dope.
Okay. The security came up to me and my friend, and they swarmed my friend. Partially, I suspect now, because he is Colombian, and I am not.
You're not.
And that was in retrospect. That was the first time that I was like, "Oh, that thing they talk about, it's real."
Oh yeah.
And I realized that like I could have run for it or whatever, but I reached into my pocket and I said to the security guard, "Hey, guys, don't worry about it here. you know, thinking like this is no big deal. And they said, stay right here. The cops are on their way.
Yikes.
And I could have ran and I didn't, and I maybe should have. And the cops came and I was let out in handcuffs and I was arrested and had to do community service for shoplifting.
Damn, dude.
This is in high school?
This was senior year of high school or like right before college. And I remember thinking like it was going to jeopardize my college shit. And like,
oh, yeah.
It was stupid and just something you do when you're a teenager for cheap thrills in New Hampshire. And had I not been a white dude,
yeah,
I probably would have had to deal with some actual consequences. But
what happened to your friend?
No, he was just he wasn't a part of it. I guess he was an accomplice if you really think about it.
Oh, he didn't. I see.
He did nothing. That was the thing that was shocking to me.
I thought the only time that you were arrested and carted away was Slope Day at Ithaca when you stepped off of the lawn. And we've seen pictures of you being led away by the police.
That's a good pick. Yeah.
That wasn't an arrest though, was it?
No.
Didn't they sit you down in the electric chair?
Yeah, they made an example of me, but they threw me in like the, you know, the paddy wagon with all the other ne'er-do-wells.
I had that feeling the other day. I was,
I can say paddy wagon, by the way, I'm Irish. Keep going, Mike.
Okay. Hmm. The stealing thing. Yeah. I was in a store the other day and I was like, by like the candy area, I was like, how hard would it be to put this in my pocket and leave? And then I just kept thinking, like, what a stupid thing that would be if I did that and got caught. I'd have to be like, I don't know. I don't even really want candy, but I could.
Yeah.
And I could pay for it. Sorry.
It's all fun and games until you hear that doop, doop, doop.
Yeah. I also feel like there's more security, better security cameras and stuff these days.
Probably, yeah.
Nebby. Well, everything's digital.
Yeah, well.
Timothy, your greatest crime?
Oh, I don't. It's not a problem. I don't know if it's my greatest crime, but you know which one I just was thinking of because I was cracking my egg for my drink. I remembered a stupid move I made where I was a kid, and it was Halloween, and me and my friends were going out bombing, so we had toilet paper and eggs, and shaving cream, and we did the thing where you put a pin into the shaving cream thing and then you hold a lighter underneath it and you melt the shaving cream spout so that it's really thin so that it'll shoot shaving cream farther because it'll a small, you want a smaller hole so it'll spray.
Crazy.
Anyway, in the middle of one of those, I'm in Shokan, New York, being a little bad boy. And then me and my friend, I've got like a bunch of, you know, paraphernalia for the shaving cream and stuff. Anyway, I got two eggs in my back pockets, one egg on each cheek in jean pockets. And then this is not me even getting in trouble. This is just a cop sees me and my friends and stops. I was like, hey, you guys, what are you doing? And then he gets out and comes and starts talking to us. And I was like, oh man, I got two eggs in my back pockets. I don't want this guy to, like, if he searches me, he'll feel these eggs. If he frisks me, he'll feel these eggs in my back pockets. So instead of like pulling them out of my pockets and throwing them into the woods or something, I reach back with two hands and I slap my butt cheeks with my two hands, smashing the eggs inside my jeans pockets. I don't know why I did it.
You panicked.
So then the cop never frisked me. He was like, what are you guys doing? We're like, nothing. Again, probably white privilege. He was like, okay, have a good night. And and then I'm left there with egg dripping down my BVDs.
I used to do a little Halloween bombing myself, Tim. And
Michael. I was out
some time with a friend. We were kind of wearing dark or camouflage, you know, black clothing, that type of, don't want to be seen. And some older kids that my friends knew from school, we went to different schools, they were like, oh yeah, hey, how's it going? They're like, oh, what do you got there? And they were like, yeah, these are our eggs. And they took our eggs and then threw them at us as we ran away.
Yep.
I was like, I don't think these guys are our friends.
They ain't making omelets with those things. Yo.
I'm ready to grade, Jefferson.
To grade?
Oh my god.
We haven't even done segment three.
I find that degrading.
Oh yeah. I'm getting a little drunk. I don't know what's going on.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? It could be the booze in the drink.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, let's go to break and then we'll come back and we'll rank.
Love it.
Folks, we'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And we're back with our final thoughts on The Illegal.
I like it. It was a very big, shocking, tart, smoky taste to begin with, but I do enjoy it. And I'll tell you what, I would order this at a bar.
Yeah,
me too.
I would order this at a bar. I don't know if I get a second one. Like I said, I'm already pretty drunk. Like, this is a pretty heavy drink, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that rum, to just add that when there's already a normal amount of mezcal, this is... Don't you have that feeling of the fact that you're in your home, but you're drinking this, and it really feels like a professional cocktail, huh?
Yeah. There's a lot of weird... I feel like mezcal does that, but it's a lot of weird flavors going on in a good way.
Yep.
Very good.
All that lime. It's a lot of lime juice, and the overproof. It smells great. It's really... it smells better than it tastes, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it. I would order it again. I think there's a certain magic that happens when lime meets egg. Mm-hmm. And it's the best mezcal cocktail I've ever had. Maybe I'm a master mixologist. I don't know.
Ooh, nice. I haven't had much mezcal, only on this show.
I had, I did a tasting in Mexico. I think I told you guys that one of them was made with like rotten chicken breast in
Yes.
And that was kind of had a funkier stank to it. But they all do kind of taste like cigarettes.
Yeah.
But slopheads listening, definitely skip the Falernum and skip the Maraschino. You're not tasting.
No.
No.
Don't do that, slopheads. Do not do that.
Jeez, I take it back.
I like all the little bits and bobs. Yeah, it takes an extra fucking 10 minutes to make. But get that egg white, get that Maraschino, get that, do it all. But you know, maybe experiment with tequila instead of a smoky mezcal. I like this, but
yeah.
You know, mezcal's never going to be my fave. And it's an order again, but it's maybe a begrudging order again.
Now, Jeff, would we all say that of the major spirits, you know, whiskey, vodka, rum, so-and-so, is mezcal our very least favorite?
Like, what would rank worse? I can't imagine. Like,
it's just really not versatile, right? It's just this one taste, and if you like that taste, you like it. But if you don't like that taste, I do like it. I do want to drink it sometimes, but it's not like you can dress it up or dress it down.
Like, it's better than Malort and Jägermeister, and those aren't major spirits.
It's better than Malort, a famously hated.
You know, we haven't done a vodka drink in a while, have we?
We did too many over the summer, so we chilled out on them.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't had vodka in a long time. That's one I kind of steer away from.
Yeah,
not that I don't like it. I just don't. It doesn't really do me any favors.
You know what I got hanging out in the freezer, Mike, is a little Absolute Citron for my textbook Cosmos.
Oh, nice.
That's good.
You know what I had in my freezer yesterday? It was a Charleston Chew. Didn't last long.
Boy, the nougat really changes when you put it in the freezer. You know, you can shatter it.
Wow.
It really does. It was fantastic.
Michael, I got a vodka tip for you. Here's what I was doing over the holidays. I said to myself, Tim, holiday time coming. You're going to want to drink a lot of these holiday cocktails that are very fattening, you know, your egg, your spiked eggnogs and your Tom and Jerry's and your Christmas peppermint rum chattas and all that. Your
cookies, the candy canes.
I had a little talk with myself in the mirror and I said, Timmy, remember this trick you learned? Bring it back where you have your vodka on the rocks, but you put a little beet horseradish in it. That's right.
Huh?
Purple horseradish that's made with beets and horseradish. This is a kind of a Russian trick to put a little bit of horseradish. And
it's kind of like a Bloody Mary, I guess.
It had that kind of twang to it. And then I was doing pickle juice in my vodka rocks, and I was doing drip. You could drip some juice from sauerkraut or pickled tomatoes or any kind of salty.
So you're spicing up a vodka with some fermented stank.
Yeah, because I love that stanky stuff and I want to drink it. And it's wintry. It's very nice in the winter. So I said this will be my thing around the holidays, and I had a blast with
it. So Tim, you for the horseradish, you're putting in you got little flakes of horseradish floating around in there, huh?
No, here's what I do. You're supposed to infuse it, which takes time. I press a spoon down in the jar. Uh-huh. So that I don't get any of the coarse stuff.
Just the juice. Just the drips.
Is that why when you came to town, you dragged me over to a pierogi place and we had sauerkraut and goulash in the afternoon?
That probably is why I had Veselka on the brain. And what did I drink there?
That is.
I went non-alcoholic and had a cherry lime Ricky. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was fun.
I don't think I tasted it. I meant to ask you and then I said, with COVID, we can drink this one time.
I think it was like a Sprite and Grenadine, you know, good.
Ooh, Grenadine. You know what I think I might make next?
What?
A classic dirty gin martini.
A classic dirty gin martini.
Ooh. Hey, speaking of dirty, somebody sent me, and I want to say it was a slophead that we know, a drink called the Dirty Shirley, which I thought was very funny, where it was a Shirley Temple with vodka in it. And that's kind of funny to take the most famous mocktail and then turn it into a cocktail. Sounds pretty good.
Oh, I wanted to bring this up. Oh, thanks for reminding me, Tim.
You're welcome.
When I was looking for the illegal, I kept seeing the Scofflaw kept coming up a bunch, which is more of a whiskey drink.
He takes a whiskey drink?
I found... something called a little article called the 5 strongest cocktails in the world.
Ooh,
you've got Dow. Just I'll read the titles and then just
read them.
The first one, Death in the Afternoon, is number 5. Jungle Juice is number 4.
Sure.
The Zombie, number 3. We've done that.
Whoa.
Sazerac is number 2.
Whoa.
And number 1 was an Aunt Roberta. I'll read the little blurb here.
Never heard of it.
Created by a 1900s prostitute. In Alabama, this is a widely considered the deadliest cocktail in the world. It is made of 100%. It was made 100% with alcohol and no mixers, in equal parts gin, vodka, brandy, blackberry liquor, and absinthe.
Let's do it.
Wow, we're doing it. That sounds good.
Episode 100.
It's like a Long Island iced tea, kind of.
Yeah.
All that shit all together. Hoo-wee.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode, and Questions for Lennon, our monthly bonus episode. That's patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys.
And for everyone who thinks that Tim can't write a good organ counter melody, listen to this.
Oh.